Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
The purpose of the book of Hebrews is to demonstrate the supremacy of Christ. And you'll understand why we're going in that direction in just a moment. Hebrews is not difficult. The book of Hebrews is only difficult if you do not have an understanding of Old Testament Judaism. If you have an understanding of Old Testament Judaism, the book makes perfect sense. And it was written to New Testament Jewish Christians and that they might grow in grace and to reveal to them and encourage them and to substantiate in their lives the supremacy of Christ. Years ago, and it was down in the Petoskey Hospital. I think maybe my mic's a little bit loud. You might touch that off a little bit. I knelt by the bed of a dying preacher. He was a man of God. I loved him. I was a kid preacher. And I asked him to pray for me. And I remember he took his hand and he stretched it out and it was shaking and he was right near death and he put his hand on my head and he prayed for me and that God would bless my ministry and it would always be Christ's ministry. And when he said amen before I left the room and it was the last time I saw him alive, I said, "Do you have any advice for me?" And he said simply this, "Make, and whatever time you have, make much of Christ." And I've never forgotten that. He was saying, preach Jesus. Whole counsel of God. Be a Bible biblicist, a Bible fundamentalist, and preach the whole book. But make much of Christ. Jesus said in a passage that you're familiar with, and I seem to quote it quite often, Jesus said, speaking of Calvary, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." The fact is, if we will exalt Jesus Christ at Fundamental Baptist Church, in our services and in our ministries, men and women and boys and girls will be attracted to Christ. If we will just lift him high, and by the way, that is what the book is all about. You hook your wagon to that star and you're going somewhere. I'm saying you connect with Jesus Christ and allow your life to magnify the Jesus of the Bible, then you're going somewhere. If you're just doing your own thing, you're going nowhere. You're just going in circles. Good luck. Tough life. It's going to be ups and downs. It's going to be a lot of heaviness in life and a lot of heartache. But if you'll just get connected to Jesus Christ, I'm talking about after getting born again, you surrender to him and you make him the Lord of your life, everything is going to change. And that is what the book of Hebrews is about. And if you'll take a look at it with me here this morning, just take a few moments. Hebrews and chapter 1 And I just feel like I've got to emphasize this several times, and I'm going to try to emphasize it several times as we look at the Word of God. I'm thinking of a verse in Colossians. We read it this morning in Sunday school. It's in Colossians and chapter 3, and it says, "Christ, who is our life." Now that'll go right over the top of the head of a lot of people. Christ, who is our life. If you're a child of God, if you are blood-bought, all your sins are forgiven. You've got a Bible salvation. Your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. After salvation, you have a purpose here on this earth, and it is to magnify Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. Whatever your vocation is, whatever continent you live in, Whatever part of society you are a part of, you are to live it. Christ is to be, after being born again, your life is to be Jesus Christ. Not about Jesus. It is to be Jesus. It is to be Jesus Christ. Man, I'm struggling a little bit with trying to communicate this morning. Without Jesus, I have nothing. I am nothing. Without Christ, I'm just a 59-year-old bag of wind up shouting some words this morning. Without Christ, I have no purpose in life. Whether you're a young person, a teenager, or an old man, no matter, or anybody in between, without Christ being your life, you're wasting your time. You're wasting it. Your life is slipping through your fingers. If you're all about making money, making a good living, if you're all about accruing wealth, if you're all about getting fame, you're wasting your life. You are wasting it. I want to say it again. Hear me. I hope you remember this if the Lord tarries 50 years from today. I hope you don't do this where you say, looking back, man, I wasted my life. I wasted it. Our life is Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3, I go back to this morning's Sunday school lesson again. If ye then be risen with Christ, set your affection on things from above, not on things of the earth. If you are truly born again, if you're someone who's truly saved, lift your eyes off of this world and gaze upon your Savior and live your life for the glory of God. The book of Hebrews, there's enough weighty Christology to occupy the most astute theologian for a lifetime in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is all about showing the supremacy of Christ to the Jewish Christian, but to you and I as well, to the supremacy of Christ over everything else in the world. Everything. If you know what, I got a whole big outline. I got 5 points here, and I want to preach most of chapter 1 and a couple of verses in chapter 2. And really, I could preach the whole message if I could just get this truth, and it's what it's talking about. Jesus is everything. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to this world. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the best person that could have ever happened to the life of Tim Rader. I mean, Jesus Christ is my all in all. The little boy tried to quote the 23rd Psalm and said, and he quoted it wrong instead of saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, he's all I want." And that's really the way it's supposed to be. Whatever your life, no matter what you're doing in life, no matter what your vocation, no matter what direction your path goes during the week, it ought to be all about exalting Jesus Christ. And by the way, in order to exalt him, I got to obey him. I've got to do and live the precepts of the book. I can't pick and choose. I want every moment to be used for the glory of God. Verse 1 says, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners, that means in all kinds of ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. He spoke in dreams. He spoke in visions. In many different ways. This is prior to the word of God being on record for us. Verse 2 says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the worlds. God no longer speaks through dreams and visions and audible voices. And God, there are no prophets in the world today as far as the gift of the prophet. But we have the word of God. The Bible tells us in John in chapter 1, let's all go there together. John in chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word. We have the Word of God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Look at verse 10. Oh, let's go to verse 11, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What part of the Trinity was made flesh? Jesus Christ. What is His name according to John in chapter 1? The Word. He is the Word of God. God, who in times past spoke in all kinds of different ways through the prophets, now has chosen to speak through His Son. And we have the completed book, the 66 books that make up the canon. We've got the Word of God. The Bible from Genesis to Revelation is all about magnifying Jesus Christ. You find the gospel of Jesus Christ in the book of Genesis. You find it in the book of Malachi. You find it in the book of Matthew, and you find it in the book of Revelation. It is all about Jesus Christ. Now, God has given to us the book. Let's go to 2 Peter in chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. I haven't gotten very far in my message. I'm going to speed this up. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter here says, I was there. He's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. I was there. I am an eyewitness to the majesty of God. Verse 17 says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And I heard, and this voice which came from heaven, we heard. We were with him in the Holy Mount. What an experience that must have been. And Peter says, man, I was there. I heard it. I saw it. I was there. I saw the majesty of God. We heard the voice of God the Father speaking to God the Son. You talk about a religious experience. Read on here. Verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. That's what the Bible is. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. It isn't what you think the Bible says. And nobody made up the Bible along the way. Verse 21 says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We've got the book. We've got it in our laps. I've got one in my hand, a copy of the Scriptures. God has preserved his word. This book is the very word of God. We learn about faith. We learn about forgiveness. We learn about family in this book. We have a more sure word of prophecy. That's what Peter's saying. You talk about religious experiences? I was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and two of my brethren were with me. We saw the majesty of God. We heard the very voice of God. We heard him speaking to God the Son. This is my Son. And we heard Jesus speaking to him. What an experience. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. The word of God. God, the writer of Hebrews says, in times past, God spoke through the prophets, but now he speaks through his Son, the book. Back to Hebrews again in chapter 1. Verse 2 says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. I've got a nice 5-point outline. It all starts with the letter S. Source, sustainer, superior, he's sovereign, and he's savior. I'm not going to worry about the outline this morning. We're going to read the text, and I want you to see what he's... But do know this, Christ created the foundations of the world. Christ created this world in which we are living. Christ is the source of all that is good, and he's good to me. He is the very creator. All things were created by him and for him. It says in the book of Colossians, Christ, who is our life. Hear this morning. Jesus Christ is everything. He's more than a crucifix. I have to say this for people that don't understand this. He's more than a piece of jewelry hanging on the end of a chain. He's more than a little religious relic in a box. He's bigger than a bumper sticker. He's God. He's the very creator. He's the source of everything and all that is good. He is the very word of God. Let me exalt his name this morning. Allow me to magnify his name this morning. Allow me to somehow explain who he is this morning. He's the sustainer of life. Look what it says in verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus Christ is our sustainer. The Bible tells us in Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 17, by him all things consist. They stay together. I think I alluded to this maybe 2 weeks ago, and I want to share it again, just in a simple sentence. Even the molecule that makes up all human matter, science has no explanation for. The protons and the electrons should propel off of one another and scatter. The only thing that holds this pulpit together, I'm telling you who it is, it's a person, Jesus Christ, because he wills it. The only thing that holds me together is Jesus Christ, By Him do all things consist. He is the sustainer of life. And in Him we have eternal life. Boy, this is so good. D.L. Moody said this: there are no steps to climb in approaching God. This is for the child of God. This is what he meant to say. This is what he meant by saying that. When I get born again, I'm in Christ. I don't have to do anything to gain His favor. I don't have to do anything to gain His love. I've inherited. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ because of Jesus, not because of anything I've ever accomplished. So when I go to Him in prayer, I don't have to climb any steps. I'm there. I'm there because of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's real deep. You got to study the book. You got to study the book of Hebrews. I'm trying to say too much in a paragraph here, and I know it's more than I can do a good job explaining. But Christ is our all in all. Look at Colossians. Turn there if you would, and look at chapter 2 and just verses 18 and 19. Colossians chapter 2 and verses 18 and 19. I'm just going to pull this right out of the text, and I'm going to explain to you what it is. If you were here in Sunday school, you heard this taught a week ago. Let no man beguile you. All kinds of false religions in the region round about the city of Colossae. All kinds of idolatry. All kinds of wickedness. All kinds of people living their lives according to the stars. And all kinds of debauchery. And they were a very religious people. But all kinds of idols. It says, let no man beguile you or trick you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. They were worshiping angels. Intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And here's the mistake they were making. And not holding the head. And read chapter 2. The head is Jesus Christ. Not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. In other words, all blessings, all strength, all growth in grace and the knowledge of the Word of God comes by way of Jesus Christ. And what the writer of Colossians, Paul, was saying to the church, the believers at Colossae, he was saying, like a bulldog with tenacity, hold on to the head. Don't get all messed up with all of the cults and the isms and the religionity all around you. Hold on to Jesus Christ. Exalt Jesus Christ. Because it's only through Him are we going to grow. Only through Him is Fundamental Baptist Church going to continue to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tenaciously, hold on to Jesus. Don't get caught up with something else. There's all kinds of directions, all kinds of things out in the world to lure you away from God. And you can drape it in religious clothing and religious sounding words, but it's wrong if it takes you away from Jesus Christ, the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus Christ that's taught in the Word of God and obeying the Scriptures. Anything short of that is idolatry. Go back to Hebrews in chapter 1. Verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For which unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten, the only begotten, that's Jesus, the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? And unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Jesus is superior to the angels. Now, to the Jewish mind, remember this is written to Hebrew Christians, first century Hebrew Christians. And they were hanging on to a lot of Old Testament Judaism. And they were never told to worship angels. But a lot of false doctrine had crept in. Jesus Christ, the writer of Hebrews, I believe it was Paul, said to these first century Hebrew Christians, you think the angels are something? Jesus Christ is superior to the angels. You don't worship angels. You don't pray to angels. You won't find that anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible. You pray to Jesus Christ. We have one mediator between God and man, one advocate, and his name is Jesus Christ. You don't worship angels. Anytime angels of God, where man knelt down to angels of God in the Bible, you'll find no exceptions in the Bible. They always said, get up. I'm just an angel. I'm a ministering spirit. I am not deity. I am not God. There's only one to worship. And his name is Christ. Period. His name is Jesus. and he's God's son. Verse 8, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of my kingdom, of thy kingdom. God the Father, I don't know if you got this or not, God the Father says to God the Son, thy throne, O God. He's God the Son. He's deity. I'm not going to preach this whole chapter. I'm quickly running out of time. Let's move ahead. Verse 8. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And God the Father delights in his Son. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they shall all wax old as doth a garment. And verse 11 speaks of the eternality of God. The eternality of Jesus Christ. He's never going to fade into oblivion. He's never going to turn into an old man. Everybody here that has a grumpy old man for a dad, say amen. Man, he's never going to do that. He is going to be, he's going to always be the Jesus Christ. The Jesus Christ that is the lover of my soul. The Jesus Christ that loves me with all of his being. The Jesus Christ who has become my advocate. My mediator. He is never going to grow old and grow feeble. I can't do half the things I used to do physically. I'm smarter than I used to be. I just forget a lot. But I can't do half the things that I used to do. Man, I used to, never mind. I can't do half the things that I used to do because I'm getting old. I'm not getting feeble. I'm not there, but I'm getting old. And I recognize it. I don't have the strength I used to have. But God the Son, he'll never grow old. Verse 13, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? Verse 12, the end of verse 12 says, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. He's never going to change. Same book of Hebrews, turn to chapter 6. Same book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Verses 17 through 20. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. God is willing to share this great truth with every child of God. And he confirmed it, his promise, by an oath. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We have God's word on this. God's promises are true. They're never going to change. Jesus Christ, according to chapter 1 and chapter 6 as well, is immutable. He's never going to change his mind in eternity future. Where he decides to just shake things up and change things. That's not going to happen. That is not the... We have the surety of the promise of God. It is so real. God gave a promise and then he confirmed it with an oath. And he didn't need to do that. But he did that for everyone that runs to him for refuge. If you're here this morning and you've chosen Christ for salvation, you understand he is the only Savior, and you repented of your sin, he is going to be your Savior forever. Oh, what a wonderful truth that is. Back again to Hebrews in chapter 1. He is immutable. He's never going to change. And he's Savior. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, he said, if what the angels said came to pass, and they were sharing what God the Father told them to say, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? If what the angels said came to pass, then what Jesus says will surely come to pass. And he said, and how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus said, broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, and straight is the gate that leadeth unto life eternal, and few there be that find it. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the water of life. There's only one way to heaven. And how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If you're gambling with your soul that the Bible is wrong, that's a fool's gamble. You're playing Russian roulette with your soul. And one day, you'll slip into eternity. A Christless eternity. You need Christ. We here at Fundamental Baptist Church, we need to advance the cause of Christ. We do that by magnifying Jesus. About a decade ago, maybe a little more than that now, the seeker-sensitive movement caught fire in some churches, and they made a grave mistake. And they began to acclimate to the culture that was about them. And they became the culture. We are not to be seeker-sensitive, we're to be Savior-sensitive. It's not a man-centered religion. It's a Christ-centered religion. We're to exalt Jesus Christ. We're to preach the book, because that manifests Jesus. We're to exalt Jesus Christ and live by the book. And sinners will come to Him for refuge. Sinners will come to Him for forgiveness of sin. But if we make it seeker-sensitive, then we become the world. We become pragmatic. We use methodology that everybody else uses. And it's hollow. The preacher put his hand on my head. We were alone in the hospital room. The door was shut. And he prayed that God would bless the ministry. And his advice, as far as I know, they were the last words he shared with anyone, was to this young preacher to make much of Christ. I don't know if I've done a good job of that this morning. So let me summarize by saying this. Jesus Christ, best thing that ever happened in my life is found in the person, Jesus Christ. Best thing that ever happened to this world is Jesus Christ. I know this county we live in doesn't recognize it yet. The majority of the 38,033 people that live here in this county, I know they don't recognize it. They need to, that's why we got to shout it even louder. We got to make it even more clear. We need to explain it to people that don't understand. There are people in our society that don't know who Jesus is. There are people in Chippewa County, and I meet them periodically, have never gone to church. And church doesn't save anybody. I know that, and you know that. But they know nothing of Christ. And if you think they do, and there's a lot of people that maybe are that way, I think you're a little bit out of touch.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.